Radio.
Knowledge, education and the university. A talk by Dr. Roger Scruton.
Thank you very much, Ryan, for that kind introduction. This is a very intimidating audience because obviously you are normal, natural people, unlike the people I normally have to deal with, who are arcane, over-educated intellectuals who won't accept anything I say. And I have to speak to you, obviously, in a way which recognizes that you are the real people who make the decisions about things, decisions not only about your own lives, but about the lives of your children, and you have to confront the world as it really is. And this is a very important question. Our universities, as they exist today, have been insulated from the world as it really is, first of all by the fact that they are massively funded by the state, so that their professors never really have to worry about their careers or to have to do anything other than satisfy bureaucrats who are as isolated from reality as they are. But secondly, that they have complete control over their curriculum and their activities. They can shape it according to their interests, and as a result, they can, with impunity, ignore the young people who've come to study with them. And we see this actually all over the world, not in every university, but especially we see it in state-funded universities. The growth of a new class, a new professoriate, whose main interest is to pursue their own studies, their own research, as it's called, and gain through that research ever more advanced positions in the career structure that the university provides. And while that is, of course, not to be sneezed at, we are all ambitious, we all want to get somewhere, it is accomplished at the cost of the students whom they ought to be teaching. Very few students coming to a university today will actually have the important educational encounter, which is the face-to-face encounter with someone whose brain you admire and who is taking you seriously and saying to you, look, what you've written on this page is absolute rubbish, and this is why. Giving the individual student that time both to demolish him and to build him up again. And that is the education that I was fortunate enough to have in Cambridge a long time ago, but which is, I think, disappearing from the university world. The education in which which scholarship is seen as a cooperative endeavor of which students are a part, which gives to the students what they themselves need by way of understanding the world in which we live. Now, there is another reason for university professors isolating themselves in this way, which is, of course, that thanks to developments which are beyond our control, the new generation of students is not really programmed in the same way as my generation. And you, the parents here, are intermediate generation between the two of us. But we were programmed to, if we needed knowledge, to go to a book to obtain it, and to sit with that book quietly in a corner and read it and digest it. It's not like that today, as you know. Young people go to, not to a book, but to the internet, and they download from the internet all kinds of things which are extremely useful to them and annoying to us. Like information, the average family dinner conversation, I will say to my children, look, it's absolutely wrong to think that that the First World War began in 1914. You know, the preparations were already there in 1913, such and such a meeting and so on. And I'd invent something to impress them. And immediately they've gone to Google and they're back at the dining room table saying, look, Dad, you're a fraud. Here are the facts. You know, come up, admit it. Your learning is not worth anything compared with this machine. And of course, that is, in a way, true. because it's not worth very much to them in their present circumstances. But I hold on, I cling to the view that, what I have is still worth imparting for the reasons which I shall try to summarise. We can't control that flow of information that our young people have access to. You know, they've all got their computers and their iPhones and all the ways in which they can go through life with, as it were, holding a mirror in front of their face and ignoring the rest of us. But information is not the same thing as knowledge. Knowledge involves the ability to discriminate between the true and the false, the good and the bad, the valuable and the useless. And discrimination is an extremely hard thing to acquire. You know, very many, as you know, the internet is absolutely crammed full of information. But until you've gone through the hard work of checking it and checking it against those libraries, which are hard things to spend a day in, and you've got the habit of knowing how to test one thing against another, you don't really know the difference between information and disinformation. We see this in politics today all around us, don't we, people act on the information provided and they don't necessarily have the means to discriminate, to discover what thing is valuable and what thing is not valuable. It's just a great flood of mere facts. Facts are useful, but facts have to make sense. And I think, in my view, a true university education, or the kind of education that people are trying to provide here at Campion College, is one that is not just about facts. It's that which enables you to evaluate facts and to see them in their full context, to see which facts are important, which are not important, which things will contribute to your understanding of the world and which will merely distract you from it. And now, at the beginning of the university, some nearly 3,000 years ago, or 2,500 centuries ago, Plato, who invented it, and the word academy comes from the grove of Hecademus, where he set up his original university. Plato presented us with a very important thought. He said that knowledge, of course, is what it's all about, but knowledge has to be part of the person who possesses it. We have to be able to remember things, and really teaching is cultivating the art of memory. And that means internalizing the knowledge that you have so that it becomes part of you. Plato himself was hostile to the idea of writing things down. He said if you wrote something down, you had, as it were, lost control of it. It was no longer in you, it was outside you. And that was a very strict view to take, but you can understand what he means if you think about what poetry means to us. My generation, we were taught to memorize poems by heart. Not because that was the only way to read them and enjoy them, but because that way they became part of you. And in any difficult situation where you needed poetic consolation, you had it to hand. And so memorizing was a fundamental part of education for Plato. And it was in schools in my youth. You know, and then it was, of course, criticized by people who said this is just rote learning and it doesn't contribute to the child's understanding of the world, which is untrue. But what is really important is not just the art of memory, but the art of discrimination, the art of knowing which facts are important, which things to remember, which things to internalize and take with you into life. And we discriminate between lots of different things. We discriminate between the true and the false. That is obviously vital. There is no such thing as knowledge if you don't learn how to discriminate the true from the false. We discriminate good from evil. We discriminate the beautiful from the ugly. We also discriminate, or I think especially people in this room would do so, we discriminate the sacred from the profane. And we live in a profane society in which our encounters with sacred things, things which have a more than earthly significance for us, are rare but precious. And they are the things which make it possible for us to confront the world in which we are with some confidence that it has a meaning for us. And and all these discrimination, these habits of discrimination, are being eliminated from our educational system. And as I see it, a true liberal arts education of the kind that that Ryan referred to earlier has as its goal to reinstate this habit of discrimination between the true and the false, between good and evil, between the sacred and the profane, between the beautiful and the ugly. Now, we have to do this by putting the art of discrimination into the heads of young people. We don't do it simply by telling them to look up on the internet whatever is available on this source, to find it all from Wikipedia. But increasingly, this is what universities will tell children to do. We want children actually to incorporate knowledge into their heads and to not just to store it there, but also to know how to apply it in their daily lives and in their encounters with other people. So one thing that we want to do, of course, is to put knowledge into the heads of our students. But it's not only into their heads that it has to be put, it has to be put into the personality. And I think this is where really our educational system today has gone wrong. But students in modern universities are left really to their own devices to develop as persons. Now, being a person is not an easy thing. Children are not yet persons, as we've just seen. But it'll all improve in time. That the child has to learn that it is a responsible member of a community, who makes judgments and is judged, who restrains himself for the sake of others, who learns how to cooperate with others. And that kind of education is not just education of behavior, it is education of the whole personality. And to grow as a personality in this way, it's not enough, as I said, just to have a store of information. You have to be able to discriminate among that information between the things which are genuine knowledge from the things which are just an accumulation of facts. And genuine knowledge involves this discrimination between true and false, good and evil, beautiful and ugly, and sacred and profane. And then we teach this in many different ways. And in a scientific education, you, on the whole, leave that to one side. You say, look, I'm only interested in teaching the truth about the physical world or the truth about human biology. But in a truly liberal education, you take into account the fact that young people are growing as persons and need this other input into their intellectual development, which will tell them how to discriminate among between the things that are valuable and the things that are not. Now, obviously, religious people and Catholics in particular have always thought that this is a task for the church. You know, if you have faith, then you already know enough about the moral life to know which things are good and which things are bad, to make these distinctions in your daily life, to know when something is nasty or shameful, to pursue the pure and the commendable and the good. But it's not like that anymore. I think we have to admit this. Although possibly in Australia, things are better than they have become in Europe, it's still the case, I'm sure, even here, that faith is a slightly wavering thing. The church is under pressure, and it doesn't have quite the authority that many people would like it to have in everyday life. It needs support, backing up from educational institutions, And it also needs, if you like, an escape route. And the church has to be able to say that, look, we aren't trying to control the development of children. We're not trying to indoctrinate them, to give them a complete account of the things that they should believe and the things that they shouldn't believe. We are simply giving one overall guiding light within which they can, of course, make all kinds of existential choices of their own. This means that increasingly the church depends upon education to fill the gap in students' knowledge, to give them a sense of why it is important to discriminate, why it is important to pursue the path of knowledge and to discriminate the good from the evil and the sacred from the profane. And that, is what a true university education in the liberal arts should do. It should introduce students to the other ways, the not just the religious way, but the cultural way of understanding these great distinctions. We look at the art, the music, and the literature of our civilization, and we see that down the ages, artists and writers have constantly tried to teach the lesson that I'm trying to put across today, teach through example that the human situation admits of discrimination, allows us to discriminate the good from the bad and the sacred from the profane, and to attach ourselves to the thing that we value. That I think is one of the fundamental things of a liberal arts education as I have understood it and practiced it over the years, which is that it takes the great works of our civilization and introduces them to students and shows them how, through studying them, they can learn themselves how to make the most important distinctions that they will need as persons in a life of relationship with others. And one very important part of this, of course, is understanding the place of beauty in human life generally. Religion tells us about the sacred and emphasizes that it is something which we cannot live without. Art sometimes talks about the sacred, but it's much more concerned with the beautiful. But if you understand this properly, it's the same idea. We find things beautiful because they are for us, as it were, gateways onto the transcendental world. They're the places in this world where we look, as it were, out beyond it to the wider universe, which gives us our consolation. And in studying art and music and literature for its beauties, we are actually doing the same thing as we are doing when trying to understand the sacred moments in our life and in the teaching of the church and so on. So I think that, if properly understood, the pursuit of beauty goes hand in hand with the pursuit of the sacred, and both of them give us forms of knowledge which are not easily available in the society in which we live. And this is really my concluding point. It's not just information, as you know, that comes down to children through the internet. All kinds of horrific corruptions come too. It's very difficult to close off the window that the internet has opened to the cesspool of human corruption which is out there, and there are many people who are obviously wanting to exploit it. And we all know that things like pornography and violence and addictive games and so on are all there within reach of our children. And we want them to stand back from that, if at all possible, to cast judgment on it, to cast it out of themselves, and to turn their backs on it and to look again into the light that comes to them from on high. And this is not going to be possible if they aren't educated to do that. And I think that is really the goal of a proper liberal arts education, to show them that there's another way of looking at things which is much more important and brings true fulfillment and happiness in the long run. So thank you.
That was a talk by Dr. Roger Scruton. This talk was recorded at Campion College, Australia. To find out more about Campion College, visit campion.edu.au. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.